Rich Eisen Show.
Are you ready?
In the NFL!
What is it like to watch the object that is Derrick Henry get smaller as he goes away from you?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
When I see him get in the open field with a full head of steam, that puts safeties and DBs in bad position.
Today's guests, America's number one Tampa Bay Rays fan, Dick Vitale. Pro Football Hall of Famer, Tony Dungy. Host of ABC's Card Sharks, Joel McHale. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. That makes me the host. That makes me Rich Eisen. So I guess we're all set.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. I am still best dad ever. We're getting there close to November, and thank goodness I'm still in that spot. Thrilled to be there. 844-204 Rich is the number to dial. Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo.
Hey,
good to see you, Rich. Top story, breaking news. This happened about a half an hour ago. My buddy Schefter, first to break it, uncork it. And the news is this, kind of surprising because the Dolphins have won their last two games by a combined score of 1,000-7 with Ryan Fitzpatrick commanding this offense very well. They've decided, let's go to Tua. And it's the bye week for the Miami Dolphins, as we all know. We discussed it yesterday that Tua got a little taste, wet his beak a little bit, dipped his toe in the NFL pool against the Jets in the final garbage time drive for Miami, and then that moving photograph that was captured of Tua sitting on the field in his uniform, FaceTiming his parents to discuss the realities that he had become a National Football League player and he had gotten in the National Football League, and all of the rehab and all of the heartache and pain and the journey had been complete in terms of the NFL dream being realized. Maybe he had just been told he's the starter as well. Maybe that was part of the FaceTime. Hey, Mom and Dad, guess what? I'm also the starter. They just tapped me on the shoulder and told me that. I don't know. We do not know the timeline of it, but man,
wow!
What a surprising piece of news that is, and I have some thoughts on the subject, but need to put a pin in that right now because of what we saw last night. Now, the Dallas Cowboys could not be more of a disappointment. I cannot tell you how disappointing this team is to me. And I don't really care about them as a fan. I care about them as a broadcaster because anytime they're mentioned, everybody's like, okay, I dislike them intensely. Oh, gosh, I love them so much. That there's no gray area when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, period. You either like them, love them, or despise them and wish every possible misfortune upon them with the exception of somebody as delightful as Dak Prescott having his ankle broken and requiring surgery on the spot that night, out 4 to 6 months, just as he's only on a franchise tag tender, making a ton of money, of course, but who knows about the future? That we don't need to see, and I think everybody can agree on that. But to say anything other than patent disappointment, and I know we had Dan Patrick on this show yesterday, and we love following him every day right here on NBC Sports on Peacock and Sirius XM Channel 211. And the conversation turned to how folks in our position on TV/radio simulcasted shows talk about sports. And we had our fun, the word disgrace, outrageous, those get thrown around. Not like manhole covers, but it's easy. You know, that was disgraceful. That's an embarrassment. That's this. Every last one of those adjectives can be applied to the Dallas Cowboys' performance of Monday Night Football last night. That's just not acceptable. It's not acceptable on any stretch of the imagination. That's still every single skilled position player not named Dak still out there. For Andy Dalton, who's been to the playoffs before, and I know he's never won a playoff game, and he's now 2-6 on Monday Night Football, and we can all have, you know, fun with that low-hanging fruit. But that's still Andy Dalton, top-notch professional quarterback, who's pulled the trigger to folks like A.J. Green. But Zeke fumbling twice last night is unacceptable. That's outrageous. He's now fumbled four times this year. He deserves some of this blame. Everybody's like pointing fingers. Who's to blame? Every year we do that on NFL game day morning, once or twice or three times a year with Irv. Now it's a weekly conversation. Who's to blame in Dallas? You point at the coach. Clapper's gone.
Gone.
Zeke put the ball on the ground twice last night. I've got to tell you this. And he took the blame last night, and accountability counts for a lot in this league. Yeah. And he knows that when Dak is out and we need to come out of the gate as a team strong, when Dak is out and show that we not only can continue to win, but we're going to continue to win for Dak. Can't put the ball on the ground twice like that. Especially when Kyler Murray's in the building and you know he wants to ball out. You know he wants to show out. To the point where I was texting you last night, Christopher, that he looked nervous. He looked off a couple times. There's DeAndre Hopkins wide open. All you have to do is put it within his 90-foot catch radius and he's going to grab it with one fingertip.
Yeah.
He missed him a couple times. Missed Andy Isabella on a deep ball that
he was open.
He was open for and
he looked a little too jacked up.
His feet normally go very pitter-patter like a sewing machine, but he was really amped up.
Yeah.
Eventually got his figurative sea legs under him. And that kid is dynamic. But this is the Dallas Cowboys, and this is 2020, and this is the moment where they have to show who they are and what they're made of, the entire country tuning in to see it. What are they going to look like without Dak? And they look terrible. And I don't want to hear about the offensive line all banged up either, because the Kansas City Chiefs, who I'm about to get shortly, were without three offensive linemen last night and still put the bang thing on the Bills to the tune of 240-plus yards rushing. I don't want to hear it. Offensive line bang. Chandler Jones wasn't even playing last night, and Andy Dalton didn't have a second to breathe. Mike McCarthy and Mike Nolan, the two Mikes, I got to tell you, they are, I'll take Greenberg and Golic over those two, that Mike and Mike.
Wow.
Honestly, come on now. Mike and Mike together have been a disaster, and that's on the owner.
I'll take Mike and Ike's. Ooh, those are delicious.
Well, that's Mayock's favorite candy. Go down a rabbit hole of working with Mike. that was dreadful. Dalton putting it up 54 times, 38-10 was the final. And that right there, last night, is positively unacceptable as a response with Kenyon Drake booking for 164 yards, the last 60-some-odd, coming on a third down run. Game's over. All they need to do is come up with one first down. You know that. And he burst through the line for a flag football touchdown to spike it 38-10. Totally. That's about effort, want to, heart. And I tweeted out last night. I didn't have a great Twitter night last night, I'll admit. But I'll tell you what. 140 characters or 280 characters doesn't do justice with, well, I guess, for what I said, is that they didn't win for Dak. And that's the ultimate indictment. You know, and I got a ton of trolls. That's what sports is about. Yeah, you got to win for your guy who was hurt. And like Dak saying on his last legs, that go win one for me. He might not have said that, but that's what it's about. Dak's out. And instead, Dak had the best night of every Dallas Cowboy. Because I'll tell you what, he's worth $60 million after what I saw last night. If he's covering up for all those mistakes. He still leads the league in passing right now, by the way.
Sure does.
That's how great he was before his leg snapped in two. That's just not at all acceptable. But also, tip your cap to the opponent. who's also banged up. No Chandler Jones is a significant injury. That puts a major crimp in somebody's plans to go deep into January. But they're not sitting there thinking about it. They won one for their quarterback. As a matter of fact, the coach is dialing up plays for the quarterback on the goal line. Let's have him run one in. Let's have him flex back in the state of Texas. Let's him show off what he could do. Let's have him run. Let's have him throw. Let's have him run and then throw. Let's have him throw and then run. Let's have Kyler Murray be Kyler. Now, it would be great if Dallas was able to have Dak at their disposal. Of course, they're not going to be as good, but they still could do more than what they could do. And Kyler Murray did show up. You know who else showed up? Buda Baker showed up. You know what? Let's talk about this kid getting paid, pizzade at the position. And I'll tell you what, when those headlines hit, about Buda Baker, you know how many people are probably like, who's he?
Yeah, exactly.
How's he making that much money? Well, I'll tell you what, people aren't wondering who is he anymore. Balling out, forcing fumbles, picking him off. Back end of the defense. No Chandler Jones? I got it. Who last night on their team on offense with a star on the side of their helmet said, no Dak? I got it. Anybody? Bueller? So, I'll tell you what. Good thing's good. And I, hey, look, you could go, hey, CD did this and Amari did that. You got somebody? TJ?
I got nothing, man. I got nothing.
Seriously. Seriously, it's totally one of those Dallas Cowboys moments we've seen too many times. Just fall flat. Get hit in the mouth. Go back to your corner. Throw in the damn towel, to use a Rocky phrase. Seriously. How many times have we seen that? On Thanksgivings and on Monday nights and on Sunday nights. And you can't blame the clapper anymore. Fact. I was embarrassed for you. I was. I was embarrassed for all of Dallas Cowboys fans. These are all facts. And then I'll tell you what. I love calling my shot. I don't really get a chance to do it all that often. I don't spike the football. Certainly when someone I love is in pain over his or her sports team. I usually don't like doing that. But Michael Irvin on NFL Game Day Morning, the Locks of the Week segment, which I despise. The producers know it. Because I don't think anybody's made smarter to be told, oh, that team that sucks is about to get beaten by a team that's much better than them. Doesn't even help people who might want to put hard-earned American dollars on something based, because I'm told these things happen on football days where people take some of their earned dollars and try to make more based on the results of a football game. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that concept at all. But even if people do such a thing, which I don't at all condone, how does that segment help you out? Oh, yeah, Jets suck. Who's playing the Jets? I'll take them to be Lock of the Week, which Michael Irvin does every time, and he kind of has fun with it, too. A lot of glee. So I said, screw it. I'm done with this. I'm going to take the team against the Dallas Cowboys, even though Arizona-Dallas isn't really anything close to a lock. I told him I'd do it, and then I'd put the crying Irvin emoji on my Instagram page. And I got to do it. And I did it with time still on the clock last night because it was done. Oh, chef's kiss. Now I know what Stephen A. Smith feels like.
Oh, geez.
Oh, we'll get to that. But I also do want to hit right here how I've been on the Bills bandwagon. I said that this is a team that had the best chance in the AFC to beat the Chiefs. They got more to prove to me. I took them in Tennessee last week. I took them on Tuesday. I took them on Monday. And here I am on another Tuesday saying, my bad. I thought Trey White being back would actually help them defensively. They couldn't stop a cold last night. And the Chiefs, Cowboys fans, have their MVP quarterback. Got it. Yours is not there anymore. The Bills had their MVP quarterback last night. Or at least the kid that had first 4 weeks of an MVP campaign. He has now taken a couple of steps back, but it's just six games. Chiefs didn't have three offensive line starters at one point last night. According to my buddy Brian Baldinger, who I follow on Twitter because I think his insights are terrific and I love his film study. According to my buddy Brian Baldinger, the Chiefs, who we all talk about how dynamic the playbook is, right?
We do.
We all talk about how dynamic that playbook is and how I'm raising my hand saying, bring that playbook with you, Eric Bieniemy, and hook him up to Trevor Lawrence because the Jets could use it. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, in what we believe is going to be his last game touching the ball virtually every time because here comes Le'Veon. And the rest of the Chiefs' running core, according to Brian Baldinger, ran just three run plays last night. That's it. They didn't bust something out from the 1945 Rose Bowl or the 34 Cotton Bowl or the bowl for all the Tostitos. They didn't do it. They just ran three run plays 46 times.
Wow.
For 245 rush yards, the most since Mahomes was named starter in 2017. That's what they did. That's what they did. They punked the Bills last night in the rain. So just when you think, oh, they're an elite, high-flying offense. No, they can hit you in the mouth with backups hitting you in the mouth. That's what they can do, especially after they just got hit in the mouth by the Las Vegas Raiders. And now the Bills have got hit in the mouth by the Titans and the Chiefs back-to-back, and you got to wonder how far the Bills can go in the AFC now. Got to wonder that. Especially since they had so many penalties in Tennessee and then a rash of dumb, and I say this with the ultimate of disrespect.
Oh.
Jets-like dumbass personal foul penalties. Had that. Put those together. And, oh, we got a very early playoff picture. I didn't know that.
I love the playoff
picture. Oh, yeah, and I appreciate Smitch. The rest of the guys at home, Hoskins, because we're sniffing it. We don't do in the hunt. By the way, Peacock viewers, new to the Rich Eisen show.
We sniff.
We don't do in the hunt. I have no idea whoever basically said to every single television partner of the NFL, you've got to give us who's leading the division, you've got to give us who's in the wild card, and then you got to tell us who's in the hunt. No, here we're asking who's sniffing it. And we all know what the it is. Greatness.
I was going to say playoffs.
Who's
but...
sniffing it? And the Bills are still leading their division, right?
Yeah.
But can't stop a running play. Can't stop making mistakes. All of a sudden, that's now back-to-back against the two teams you think you're probably going to have. Those are against the two teams that played for the right to go to the Super Bowl last year in this conference. No bueno. No bueno. Man, TJ Jefferson, I honestly, I don't know what to say about your team. They're terrible. And it's not just the quarterback. It's the way that this team is being coached, the way this team has been rostered. It's just not working. And I can't imagine what Jerry Jones is sitting there thinking about. I think they showed a shot of him. He's all masked up. Zeke's put the ball on the ground twice. Andy Dalton, who you're supposed to have at your disposal to pull off wins like this, in case Dak does have a catastrophic injury. That happens. Here he is, Monday night, whole country watching. And that's the performance they put on the field offensively. Defensively, they came out and hung with the Cardinals for a quarter. I cannot imagine what Jerry Jones must be thinking.
First take today throughout. Do you think they regret hiring Mike McCarthy?
Damn straight they do. And I don't, as you know how I feel about that sort of topic bar conversation.
Yeah.
I think that's a legitimate converse talk. Or that they let McCarthy
talk his way into the job.
And keep and they tell him you gotta keep the kid calling plays.
Yeah.
throwing up fade after fade after fade on the 2-yard line when Zeke's standing there and you got to give him something to hang his hat on off of this performance?
Yeah, Kellen Moore.
And Kellen Moore then finally dials up a play to Amari Cooper, who can basically juke anybody out of their shoes. And he's scored a touchdown. And Mike Nolan, let's tap Mike, who I love. I've met him many times. But this is not working out at all. And the idea was, let's rush the passer as much as you possibly can. And the back end of the defense, you don't have to worry about. Well, this is a problem. So, you know, I'm going to go on and on about it today. Sorry, TJ, but it's the truth. I want to know what you have to say about it out there at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We've got Dickie V joining us at the back end of this hour.
All right.
Awesome, baby.
Okay, because the Tampa Bay Rays will be in the World Series tonight against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Tony Dungy will join us in hour number two. And so much to ask him about the Cowboys and the Dolphins' decision on Tua. And look who's going to join us in hour three. They're very funny. Joel McHale, Seahawk fan and Card Sharks host. When we come back, my two cents on Tua, and wait till you hear who he's playing against. This is great. Hey, folks. Now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. You can bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live, drawing, sharing, building ideas with everyone on the same page. And you can make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more all about the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. For Rich, number to dial here on the show. We're back here on Peacock. Our radio audience will be joining us shortly. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show is how you can go down a rabbit hole with everything that we do here in terms of our past years. We've been on the air coming up next month, 6 years. So there's a lot of fun stuff that's down there. And interestingly enough, I'll point out later on what our number one viewed video has been for the last month. It also has to do with a birthday that's being celebrated today, pop culture wise.
Oh, hey now.
All of that together. And a movie that I showed my kids for the first time over the weekend.
Fantastic.
Putting that all together. That's a little bit of a tease.
Pulp Fiction?
Definitely didn't show him Pulp Fiction.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Definitely didn't show him Pulp Fiction.
They like the wolf?
Definitely didn't show him Pulp Fiction.
Bring out the gimp.
Definitely didn't show him the gimp.
Gimp is sleeping.
No. But thanks for asking, guys. Really appreciate that.
That's a good one.
Hey, everybody. Now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and you get to see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.
How much time do we're back to our radio audience, Mike Del Tufo? Are we there? We're back. We're back.
You're
here
back
on the Mightier 1090 in the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network here on Peacock. 844-204-RICH. We'll take your phone calls shortly. Dick Vitale is going to join us as the World Series begins tonight. How about Joe Buck, man? Joe going from Tampa,
calling
the Bucks and the Packers. Then last night, he's in Buffalo calling the reconfigured Thursday night game on Monday afternoon between the Bills and the Chiefs. And then he's going to be in Texas tonight calling game one of the bubbled up World Series between the Dodgers and the Rays. And then he actually gets to stay in the town tonight because he's going to call game two on Wednesday and then get on a plane to call Eagles-Giants Thursday night football to kick off week 7. How about them apples?
Wow.
A lot of pandemic flyer miles for Joe.
That's also just, it has to be mentally taxing.
Oh, my God. It is so not easy. But he makes it look easy, which is why he's going to the Hall of Fame. He'll be in both Hall of Fames. He's going to be in both Hall of Fames. Broadcasting wing. For baseball and football.
I think you're right.
Joseph deserves it. Deserves all the kudos. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Now then, let me give you my two cents on Tua. Because there are many that are surprised. Why would the Miami Dolphins be on a little bit of a roll here where they spanked the 49ers in Northern California and then shut out the Jets for the first time? As if that wasn't difficult enough for me to watch. They shut out the Jets for the first time since the 82 AFC Championship game, the famed A.J. Dewey.
Really?
Three-interception game of Richard Todd, which should have sent me running in the other direction as a young man.
So what, the G-man?
At the time. Yeah, anyway. I would have helped. Yeah. Parcells is right around the corner.
That's true.
No, it's okay. But why would they, on this roll, now turn to a rookie? Well, then, let me tell you why I think. I don't have any particular direct insight. Okay? I'm not there. All I know is I kind of trust Brian Flores. I think he knows what he's doing. I think he's got his finger on the pulse of this team. And I think he comes from the Belichick, as we know, family. And that doesn't usually translate into it working out for you on your own. But when Tom Brady trotted on the field in 2001, the story goes, and I've heard this from many people, when you and maybe the rest of Patriot Nation, Christopher, were pooping your collective pants Bledsoe had just gotten so hurt, and who's this 199th overall selected kid who had a cup of coffee
the previous
Thanksgiving in a blowout loss to the Lions? How's this kid going to turn around, by the way, an 0-1 start that was about to come 0-2? Mm-hmm. How's he going to turn things around? I'm told everybody in New England said our best quarterback's trotting on the field because we saw what he was doing in practice, in training camp. We saw what he was up to, and we saw how special he might be, and the rest of the team knew it. I'm wondering if that's what's happening in Miami as well. And why not do it now? Unless you think Fitz is going to take you to the Super Bowl. Unless you think what's happening right now, your best chance to actually catch the lightning in the bottle to win it all requires the veteran to stay and keep his veteran hand on the steering wheel. And I don't think that's the case. And you might as well get started in the manner that the Bengals have already started. And that the Chargers took all of 2 weeks to know they should start. Because Anthony Lynn's not talking about why Justin Herbert's the backup anymore.
No.
That was just a quick flash of I need to protect the guy who I love in Tyrod Taylor. But after a while, it was just like, okay, we got it. We see out of Justin Herbert that it requires him to stay put and be named as the starter the rest of the year. And we know Joey Burrow from jump was going to be the guy in Cincinnati. And even though he's been taking his pounding, he has shown that that was an excellent draft choice for the Cincinnati Bengals. And he's special. It's time to see that from Tua. And I proffer to say we will. And why not do it? Why not? If he's ready to go and he can now do all the things that we're seeing quarterbacks can do to create problems for the defense, to see who's got the ball and who doesn't and who might be able to roll out and create problems. Myles Gaskin was just beginning to come on. I think he's going to be better. Now, the receivers, I think, are going to have to get some adjusting to, by the way, being thrown a football by a left-hander. It spins differently.
Different spin, yeah.
Michael Irvin will tell you the number of times that it looks like that's an easy catchable ball. Why did the receiver drop it? Well, not used to being thrown a ball to them by a left-hander. That'll have to eventually work its way out. But I dig it. I like it. I think you have to trust the coach. And everybody there, that they've probably seen from Tua what they need to see. And I proffer to say the rest of the team has seen it too. And they're not making this move unless they feel like it's time, he's ready, let's roll, and let's win the division with him. Let's go and be special with him. Why not, Tua? Why not, Miami? We've seen stranger things happen. from people that have not shown the ability to be special and have people follow them because you have it? This kid's got it coming out of his pores. When he looked off the safety against your Georgia Bulldogs, pardon me, Sarah's Georgia Bulldogs, I don't think they were your Georgia Bulldogs just yet. They were just beginning to become your Georgia Bulldogs. But when he looked off the safety and won a national championship on a down and distance that he helped create by taking a sack, that, by the way, him telling us that story at the Super Bowl this year in Miami about when he made Nick so angry, Saban so angry, check that out on our YouTube page. It is a glorious, wonderful, hilarious story. But when he basically dug his team out of the hole that he helped create by winning that national championship game, by making that throw, we dialed up our friend Trent Dilfer the next day because he had known the kid since the Elite 11 days, and he told us on the spot, most special quarterback he's ever seen and been around. Don't be surprised that the Miami Dolphins turned to this kid who's got that it factor right now and let him get ready after a bye. And I'll tell you what, as fans, we should thank the Miami Dolphins. I tweeted it out. I will read it to you right here to make sure that I'm saying this correctly. Here are the quarterback matchups the Miami Dolphins, barring injury and changes at positions, obviously, have helped create for all of us sports fans. Coming out of the bye week, week 8, it'll be Tua hosting former first overall draft choice Jared Goff in the Rams. Okay, here comes Aaron Donald trying to stop Tua. First up. Second game, week 9, visiting Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. Tua v. Kyler Murray. Then week 10, it'll be Justin Herbert, who the Chargers were able to select because the Dolphins left him on the board to take Tua instead. Then week 11, Drew Locke, who isn't a first-round highly touted quarterback, but is now in a position in Denver to be the guy that has been handpicked by John Elway. I think he's shown some, if you will, moxie. He's shown some ability. Then next up after that, at Sam Darnold, if he's healthy enough, Tua v. Sam for maybe the only time in the AFC East. Then let's just say the Week 13 game just got kicked up a notch. Joe Burrow versus Tua Tagovailoa, like we're settling in on a Saturday on CBS to watch the best of the SEC. That will be must-see television. Week 14, Patrick Mahomes versus Tua. Week 15, Cam Newton versus Tua. Week 16, when a lot could be on the line, Derek Carr. Tua v. Josh Allen, which I proffer to say we'll be seeing twice a year for many years to come. This is fun. I'm not surprised. I'm pleasantly surprised. And I'm very pleased.
You're not a little surprised?
That they would do it? Yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
How about that? Yeah. But they're seeing something. This is not just the owner calling up like it's Washington, D.C. saying, we drafted him. We must play him. Click. Go do. No. This is a coach who I believe has seen what he needs to see. Healthy, ready to go. And I think they let him dip his toe in that pool.
I mean,
and on Sunday to just...
Two passes.
I get it, but that's still better than none. Get it out of your system. Give them a week.
Get the jitters out.
I mean, they'll still be jitters.
Yeah.
Because that's number 99 in your program, number one in your Los Angeles heart coming at you.
That's true. That's fear-inducing.
Fitzpatrick is top 5 in completion percentage.
Got it. So that means the offense is...
yards.
That means the offense is clicking. Let's just flip it from right-hand to left-handed and hope it doesn't create too much havoc. Okay. But I think Tua's pretty special, man. Let's go to Matt in Oklahoma. Matt, I wish I could give you a hug. Let's take your call before we take Dickie V's. What's up, sir?
It was rough. I'm telling you. They couldn't stop a wet fart right now. So
that would be the Buffalo Bills, your Buffalo Bills.
Yes. And you know the worst part of all of it? I can understand losing to the Chiefs, and I still love my Bills and Josh Allen. But after that, I went to the grocery store with my mask on to go pick up some milk and some Pop-Tarts. Wasn't very happy. Who'd I run into? The same weirdo Cowboys/Chiefs fan from last year.
Yep.
Mocking me. Thank God for social distancing. I'm telling you what, because I wanted to throw some out. He wouldn't tell me his name, though. I think he's afraid I might goad him. But his Cowboys got it last night, so I'm going back to the store every day this week, and I'm going to find him. We're going to have a chat about his Cowboys, because you can't go into the store wearing a Cowboys hat and a Chiefs shirt. Pick one or the other, you bandwagon weirdo. Come on. Still love my Bills. Come on, Josh Allen. Get your head out of your butt. Let's go.
There we go. Thank you for the call, Matt. Hopefully you got that off your chest. Be careful, Cowboy Chief fan. There's somebody in the Pop-Tart aisle that's got to keep your head on a swivel. It's week six. People are beginning to feel it. But I'll tell you what. Chris, you take the Bills or the Cowboys' future right now. Who's you take? Who do you jump on right now? Right now.
For this season or the next?
Next five seasons.
Ooh, probably Buffalo.
Damn straight you do. Who came in Thanksgiving and hit the Cowboys in the mouth last year? Come on. A bad six-day stretch for the Bills. My Four Downs talks about the AFC East and its future, and I kind of dig my fourth down hot take. I'm going deep today.
Okay, I love it.
I'm going deep today.
I'm always excited what you pull out.
Well, be careful using that phrase these days.
Uh-oh. Oh. I'm okay.
Yeah, good job, Rich.
Thank you. Don't want anything to Trent.
Or do we? I think we do want stuff to Trent.
How do I make the transition to Dick Vitale? A commercial break.
It's the only way, Rich.
Back here on Peacock.
Hey, folks. Now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. You can bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live, drawing, sharing, building ideas with everyone on the same page. And you can make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more all about the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
We're back here on Peacock. We are on every day after Dan Patrick, and then we lead you into Brother from Another with Michael Holly and Michael Smith, and we are wrapped around two Floreo products, PFT Live every morning and Pro Football Talk Live, and then PFT PM. NBC Sports on Peacock streaming now. We're thrilled to be part of it every single day. Tony Dungy is going to join us at the top of the next hour. So much to talk about with him, certainly with the Dolphins making a maneuver towards Tua right now, heading into their bye week. Also with the Cowboys falling absolutely apart to shreds on Monday Night Football, on ESPN Monday Night Football. I don't know. You got it's the truth. The first place Cowboys, however, half game in front of the 1-4-1 Eagles.
Someone's going to be 4-12 and win that division. Think
about that. Don't
joke. 4-12.
No. We'll discuss it a little bit more. Discuss that a little bit more. We've got a ton of real estate. Joel McHale will be joining us in our final hour as well.
Hey, everybody. Now there's more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and you get to see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.
We are back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Now, one big happy, happy multimedia simulcast family. And I love this man. I loved being able to call him a colleague for all those years at ESPN. And we just figured this, like, how can we look at the World Series differently? How can we preview for you? I mean, we had John Smoltz yesterday. He's calling it with Joe Buck.
That's hardcore baseball.
He's a baseball Hall of Fame individual. And we've got another Hall of Fame individual who just is a diehard Rays fan. Everyone's talking about Dodgers out here. We need to be fair and balanced is what I'm saying. So let's get somebody who's totally, absolutely unbalanced when it comes to his Tampa Bay Rays. He's my buddy, Dick Vitale. How are you, Dickie V?
I'm doing really great, Rich. Really exciting time. Last time I ran into you, we were down there at Beverly Hills.
That's right.
Right there at the beautiful deli.
That's right. It's Nate Nowse.
I love that deli.
Nate Nowse. It was so great.
I'm getting ready to pick up,
and there you are, Dickie V.
And I found Rich Eisen there.
It's so great. That was fantastic. Hey, what a time to be a Tampa sports fan, Dick. This is it, right? This is high.
I'll tell you, it's a great, great moment here for this area. We got the Lightning winning that Stanley Cup. We got the Rays right now in the World Series. And we got the Bucks. I'm telling you guys, out there in football land, you better not doubt this club. If they get healthy, the problem's been they haven't had their full cast. And Mike Evans hasn't been Mike Evans yet because he's got an ankle problem. Fournette hasn't played the last two games. He's a power back. The game prior to getting injured, he had 100-some yards. Did a great job in the power to combine with the kid Jones has really improved. Godwin's been out for like 2-3 games. He played the last game. I'm going to tell you, Tom Brady is like a 25-year-old, and he's such a fierce competitor. I'm telling you, Rich, if they're healthy with that defense, they can win the Super Bowl.
There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. And the city of Los Angeles can add a World Series title to an NBA championship. And Tampa can add a World Series title to a Stanley Cup.
You know what? When you think about that, though, the market's a little different, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, talk about Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's going to be title town, yes, USA. We're going to go 3-for-3. I feel it. I swear to God, I went to the VBDI. My Vital Ball Dome Index tells me, yes, we're going to hear how great Kershaw is going to be in the playoffs this time.
It.
He's going to battle back. We're going to hear about Bueller, how good he is. We're going to hear about Bellinger being clutch. We're going to hear about the superstar Mookie Betts. We're going to hear all of that. And the Vegas people out there, they got the Dodgers as a favorite. But you know what? There's a couple teams sitting home that were supposed to win, too. I heard in Game 5, they got to face Jared Cole, the $320 million man. Are you kidding? They got Stanton back now. They got Judge back. This is the Yankees everybody expected. Rays have no shot. Excuse me. I think the Yankees are sitting home watching on TV tonight. Then I heard it from the Astros. The Astros won 3 in a row. Momentum has switched. Rays have no chance in Game 7. You kidding? The Astros have been there with Correa and certainly with Altuve and Bregman and Brantley. They've been there, Springer. The Rays have no shot in Game 7. Excuse me, I think the Astros are watching on TV. And you know the Dodgers? 3 out of 4 years, Rich. 3 out of 4 years, they've been in the championship. And as I said on SportsCenter a little bit earlier, I taped the speech to the team, basically it was about, and I said, you know, the Dodgers took strike one first time in a World Series in the 3 out of the last 4 years. They took the fastball. They took the curveball the second time. They're going to take the slider for the third time because the Rays are going to win in 7.
Does anybody throw a slider on the Rays? I thought they only throw 90 million miles an hour, Dick.
That's a good question. Right. I should have went to the fastball.
That's right. Because that's what the Rays do. Hey, I follow you on Twitter, Dickie V.
I'm all fired up, man.
I know.
I'm 81 and I'm acting about 12.
I know. I love it. I follow you on Twitter at Dickie V, and you are like the rest of America wondering why in the heck are they taking Charlie Morton out Game 7. When they're taking him out.
I couldn't believe that.
But they've got a plan. This is what
they
do, though.
Kevin Cash has been pushing all the right buttons, basically.
Right.
He's got to be clearly the manager of the year. I mean, obviously, the Dodgers are going to be a tough, tough, tough situation.
Right.
But you know what? The bottom line is what's great about it, and it's ironic, we have the best team all year in the National League, and we have the best team all year in the American League playing for the World Championship. I think that's super.
I know.
The only sad part is can't be there. You know, the Rays, I talked to their president would have liked me to come out there, but I got to be careful with that COVID-19.
Yep.
I just can't take a chance getting among those kind of people because, God forbid, that hit me. I'd be in big trouble.
And of course, Dick, you got to be careful. You're a national treasure. You stay put right there and you go, you keep doing what you're doing. So, your speeches are legendary. Anybody who's ever seen you deliver a soliloquy trying to move somebody when it comes, obviously, to your charitable work, it's amazing. There's nothing like it. So you gave a Vital special to the team? You taped one? for the race?
Yeah, well, not really. ESPN called me up today and they said, if we could have you do the Sports Center, like you were going to speak to the team,
yes,
what would you say? And I did a speech that I guess it's going to hear on Sports Center.
Okay.
But
I look forward to that.
Yeah, I just love being with people, as you know, Rich. People know me. I just love being with people. And I've always tried to look at things in life a little bit optimistic. I mean, we got a serious problem going on here with COVID-19 because people don't want to follow the advice of all the experts. And, you know, it's just running rampant. And it's sad because our priority's got to be the health of everyone. And the other thing that really, you know, I learned as a kid, and it's so important, I think, in life. My mom and dad, uneducated, taught me in life. They said when I was a kid growing up, Richie, there was never Dick. Richie, treat people like you want to be treated. Respect people. And I've tried to do that all my life. And if we all did that, we wouldn't have this division that we have. There's so much hate in our nation. We need more love, man. We need hugs for one another. It's simple. Just treat people how you want to be treated.
No, I know, Dick, and the beautiful thing about sports being as active as it is, you know, the stories that we see and the good feel-good stories that you can root for might substitute for what you're talking about with a divided nation, as you're pointing out, that we could all maybe come together and watch a sporting event and root for the teams that you want to root for. And your Rays clearly have something to root for. They're new. There's a lot of players that have come a long way. This Rosarena kid, I mean, I don't think he's got a cold zone anywhere. He's a walking hot zone, this kid.
You know, Randy, I mean, what a story that is. I read Dusty Baker's quote. He couldn't believe the Cardinals gave him up. And I did a tweet the other day. I said, I want to thank you in terms of the Cardinals. And maybe I'm going to be on an ESPN station in St. Louis later. And the bottom line is, I say a big thank you. We should give him a Christmas gift. I mean, Right. Are you kidding me? How did he give that up? Same with Nick Anderson. We got from the Marlins. The guy was unhittable all year. He struggled a little bit in the playoffs, but all year he's been unhittable. And we get these guys. Our people that do an analysis for the players do a phenomenal job. I mean, you got to realize this, Rich. The payroll is a joke compared to the other teams. I think we're 27th. At about, you know, if it was a 162-game season, it'd be like $70 million to like the $200 million. You talk about the Yankees, the Dodgers. And it's amazing what they do. They get talent. They play together. There's great camaraderie, great chemistry. And they're good players. I mean, let's face it, they are good players. And we got a kid in the minor leagues. I was hoping they activated him for the playoffs, but they did not. His name is Juan DeFranco. Everybody, I ran to two scouts, Rich. I was having dinner one night down here where I live, and these two guys were in town to look at some players, and they came over and said, introduced themselves, and they said, we know you're a big baseball fan. So I said, well, join me. So they joined me. And I said, let me tell you something. You know those great young guys you're hearing about, Tatis and Soto and all these great players are 19, 20? He said, you guys got to die in the minor leagues better than all of them. He's the best. So remember this name, Juan DeFranco, switch hitter. I don't know why they wouldn't bring him up, but somebody told me it's because they don't want to start the clock on a contract. But,
yeah.
Anyway, they do a great job with the talent. I've been a 21-year, I'm not a Johnny come lately, 21 years of that season tickets, first row next to the dugout of the visiting teams, talked to all the players. I want their autographs. And Rich just thinks they had to be baseballs. Sign these baseballs for us, Dickie. I said, wait a minute, something's wrong here. I want your autograph and your picture. But, you know, it's just so much fun, and I enjoy it big time. And it's sad in a way that last year we won 96 games and we're getting 8,000-9,000 fans.
Yeah, I hear you, Dick. Before I let you go, tell me about your book. Because let's try and raise as much money as always. Your proceeds go to Fighting Childhood Cancer. The Lost Season, a look at what the journey of the 2020 National Championship could have been. As we all know, the pandemic broke just as March Madness was about to tip off. I give you the floor on this, Dick.
Well, thanks a lot, Rich. I really appreciate that because it means so much to me. I've gotten to know so many beautiful kids over the years and their families. I've spoken at several funerals. You know, I do a lot of speaking, as you said, motivationally across this country, and they were the toughest speeches I ever had to give in my life. I told my wife when I get out of here, I said I was like, nervous Rick, giving a speech, what do you say if mom and dad putting a child to rest? My new book, The Lost Season, is all about what could have been and maybe would have been if we had a March Madness. And most of all, the book is getting a lot of good reviews, but the real great story with it, as I feel, is every sale, if people buy it at DickVitale.com. DickVitale.com, if they get the book there, they can get autographed copies, they can have me write The Dodgers Are Awesome, Baby, they can have me write LA's The Best. Whatever they want, I sign it. And every dollar that I would make, every dollar, not 60 cents, every dollar will go to the V Foundation for kids battling cancer. So that's the DickVitale.com, and the book is The Lost Season.
And so you basically have brackets. How far did you have my Wolverines
go?
Yeah,
I finished it up with a fantasy bracket. Yeah. I did the book with Dick Weiss, who's a hoops guru.
Yeah.
I did it with Howie Schwab, did the research. You know Howie well.
Of course.
And Howie did the research. We had a lot of fun. It was almost like therapy for me. And we finished the last chapter with a complete bracket. And we have all the matchups. And we not only have the matchups and who's going to win, we tell them why they're going to win or why they're going to lose, who's going to score, who's not going to score, how many points they're going to get, et cetera. And we go right down to the championship game. We go to the Final Four, we go to the Sweet 16, the Final Eight, Final Four, and then to the Final Two and the ultimate winner. And it's really just a lot of fun to do.
Dickie V, love you. Love you, man.
I love you, man. You did a great job, Rich. I wish you were with us at ESPN again, but, you know, I can understand. Dollars got to count sometimes. But you've done a great job, and really, you've always treated me with respect.
Oh, please.
I appreciate that, man.
You
deserve
it. Get
a little bit older, Rich. You know, 81 years old now, and the clock keeps going. I'm in the last chapter. But I want to make it the best. I feel as enthusiastic
and
as energetic as I've ever felt in my life. I really do. I played singles this morning, tennis. I played these young ladies who are like in their 30s and 40s, and I don't play the guys. Because I used to go play the guys, and all I wanted to do was talk about, hey, what about Carolina? They're going to be good this year. What about Duke? What about? So I finally told people at the country club, I said, hey, just get me people that don't follow sports. I had a woman ask me about 3 weeks ago I played. She said, hey, are you retired? What do you do for a living? I said, well, I work in television. I still work. Oh, really? I loved it. I love that.
That's fantastic, Dick. At Dickie V on Twitter, I love watching you live and die with your Rays. And at Dickie V underscore ESPN on Instagram. And again, go to DickVitale.com to order that book today. To go raise as much money as possible. Thank you, Dick. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Rich. You do. Rich Ross, my man, Rich. Mitch Eisen is awesome, baby, with a capital A. But today the Rays are going to be awesome, baby. It's going to be sadness in Tinseltown.
You're the best. Take care of yourself, Dick. Enjoy it.
Thank you, buddy.
You guys, Dick Vitale. That's a new drop, right?
Goat.
Awesome with a capital A.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I got to tell you, when I first got to ESPN and I'm sitting there doing the 11 o'clock Sports Center or in the middle of the night or whatever, and I would hear him say, hey, Rich Eisen and Stuart Scott, they're the best. Enjoy what they're going to do next. Stay tuned for that. I just like, that was so cool. I turned to Stuart. I'm like, did you hear Dick Vitale gave us a shout out? And you know what Stuart would say to me? Of course he did.
Yeah.
What's the matter with you? I'm like, you're just
awesome, baby.
Oh,
but
best.
Dick, you know, is just the greatest. He's Rays.
You can't name one player.
I mean, this kid
Wander
Franco is going to be somebody you know. 19 years old. He could have been the Andrew Jones of this whole situation.
Yeah, man.
Except the fact Andrew didn't win that World Series.
That's true.
Don't worry, Chris. I've got Atlanta's back in four downs. I've got Atlanta's back.
I don't believe you.
In four downs, believe me, it's already been submitted.
Oh, well.
Playoffs or what?
I mean, I'll patiently wait.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying just yet. I'm saying that Tony Dungy's about to join us. What does he think of the Dolphins' maneuver for Tua? I'm telling you, Brian Flores has seen something. And then, of course, what happened to the Cowboys? That's coming up for those on our radio networks, taking a break. But here on Peacock, we are still here. I'm telling you,